To Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. You have tuned in, and you're not here by accident. You tuned in on purpose, and you're going to get what you came for. My special guest today is a brother that, if you've been listening for any length of time, you know he's a regular on the show. He is just a fabulous, fabulous brother with a fabulous, powerful, powerful testimony, and I can't wait to share him with you. If you have never heard of, I call him King Coy Dunston, by the time this show is over, you're going to definitely be blessed, and you'll be so thankful that you tuned in today. As you know, we talk about your health, we talk about your wealth, and we talk about your divinity. The show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. And so, before we get started, I want to just lay a little ground rule. If you have questions during the course of the show, whether it's on the topic we're discussing or on another topic totally altogether, as long as it's dealing with health, you can ask your question. All you have to do is just press 1, and that'll let me know that you have a question, and then I'll bring you on, and you can speak with my special guest today, who happens to be King Coy Dunston. He's owner and operator of Secrets in Nature, of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been doing holistic health for over 35 years. Successfully. That's right. You heard me. Over 35 years, this brother has been doing, helping people get better. I mean, oftentimes, unfortunately, we find ourselves in many cases in situations where we don't know where to turn when it comes to our health. We think that the only thing we can do is go to the doctor, and the doctor says, here, take this, and we take it. And for one thing, the next thing you know, we're going back for 2 and 3 more other things. It doesn't have to be that way, okay? And, again, this show today could be the answer to many, many prayers. So I just want to say, again, before we get started, thank you so much for your time. And you are going to be so glad that you tuned in. Again, my special guest is King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's got a powerful testimony about how he got started on this holistic health path. Brother Coy, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Always a pleasure, my brother. The phone lines are lit. They've been waiting on you, my brother. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, I'm glad to be back, Richie. It's good to see you still at your work. And I say good evening to your audience and to your queen and to everybody that I haven't said hello to. Good evening, and it's good to be with you again, and we're going to talk about it tonight.
Yes, sir. You know, we got a very important topic tonight that a lot of times people just take it for granted. You don't even think about it, you know. The title of this show is Every Shut Eye Ain't Sleep. Every Shut Eye Ain't Sleep. You know, we're going to be talking about sleep disorders today, insomnia, okay? But before we do, I want to let everybody know about why and how you got started on this holistic health path. Everybody, don't go away. You got to hear this, okay? My brother started over 35 years ago, but I'm going to let him tell how he got started. Brother Coy, how did you get started in the holistic health field?
Well, I guess in 1980, I was just getting out of college or school, law school, and I just needed a break, and I said I'd go home and spend some time with my mother and father and see how they are doing and see if there's anything I can do to help them out. So I got up one morning, drove down to North Carolina, and by the time I got there, my mother had just come from the doctor's office, and she came in saying that the doctor told her that she needed to go to the Duke University Hospital as soon as she could, or the next morning. He had made an arrangement for her to go the next morning because he said whatever she was dealing with, he didn't know what to do with it or how to diagnose it or treat it. So the next morning, my dad and I got up, and we drove up to Duke University, about an hour ride, and got to the hospital. We sit there all day while they did examinations and all the other stuff. And toward the end of the day, they came out and told us that they was going to keep her and do some more tests and do what they could to address her condition. And I guess finally the next day or so, they came back with the test results and said, well, we found that she had cancer in the breast, the colon, and the liver. And they kept her, I guess, a couple of more weeks and went in to talk to my mother, and she told me that they had given her an ultimatum to take chemotherapy or leave the hospital. And she asked me, what would I do if I was her? I say, well, you know, I don't know anybody that has really survived that chemotherapy. Usually when you get chemotherapy, you are dead within a couple of weeks. And I didn't think I would just pick up my stuff and let's go home and we'll get ready to meet our maker. And she took my advice, and we packed up, went home. After that, I felt an obligation to do what I could to make it, you know, assist her in any way that I could find a way to assist the person. And I got involved with the herbs and learning about natural health and all the other ways that you could treat disease and what to do if you were sick and what to do if you didn't want to get sick. And I started using the herbs and all the things that I had learned with my mother. And I guess after a week or so, she seemed to get better. You know, she had, you know, when you get the word that you're going to, you know, you're going to die, there's nothing you can do. You go through a kind of a depressed state, and you go through a why me kind of state, a psychological problems trying to resolve why am I getting this and everybody else looks okay. Mm-hmm. After she got through with that, I guess that was about a week or so, and decided to leave, we went to work. And we started with a fast. We started with whatever I knew, whatever herbs that I knew at the time to use, with fasting, the herbs, and the changing and the eating and all of that. They went from a diet to a living. And after a couple of weeks, she started feeling better, and she was looking better. And I said, well, there might be something to this. So we kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And she went back to the doctor, and they say, well, whatever you're doing, you know, keep doing it. They never did get into any discussion about what she was doing, and then nobody volunteered any information. I guess they thought it was whatever they were doing. And after a while, they told her, well, we don't see any more signs of cancer, so I guess you can keep doing what you're doing and come to see us whenever you feel like you need to. And after that, I was just convinced that this is my calling, this is what I should do, because, you know, my aunts and uncles and all had some kind of condition that they were dealing with. And I say, well, why live and work all your life and wind up sick? What are we doing wrong? And I got involved with learning how to take care of the body, and I started telling everybody that would listen. And after a while, you know, God kept me in the business. He gave me enough to live on and pay my bills. And I say, well, I'm going to do this until God tell me to do something different. And I've been doing it ever since. That started in 1980, and I'm still doing it today.
Wow. You know, that's the 5 minute version.
Yes.
You know, of the testimony. And in that, I mean, I can only imagine the emotions that went into all of that. I mean, I can just, as you share the story about your mother, I can see her going through her changes, you know, especially if you've been living a life and you think that based upon the life that you've tried to live, do the best of your ability. I mean, if you're not out there feeling like, you know, you deserve to get cancer or some sort of a condition, then, yeah, you would think that, you know, people who have the expectation of being protected from certain ailments because of their lifestyle, and then they do come down with something and are diagnosed with something, and then you being there and having to see it, to see her, that had to be very trying for you as well, because just not only seeing her sick, her body sick, but seeing her hurt. I'm talking about not pain, I'm talking about her emotional state, you know, seeing her sad because of the condition, you know, seeing her hurt by the fact that she felt like, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. This shouldn't be, you know, I mean, just seeing her feelings hurt behind that, that had to be a heck of a position for you to be in too. And then on top of that, having her life in your hands, I mean, that had to truly be something. And then for you to see the change slowly but surely, now you're seeing her get better, you're seeing her calm down. And was it a simultaneous thing? As she calmed down, the remedies that you were doing were starting to work. Was it a simultaneous thing? As she's calming down, things are getting better? Or was it the fact that she just resigned herself to the fact that, okay, it is what it is. You know, I'm trying this. I'm putting my life in God's hands through my son. And, you know, once she started getting better, did you see her faith increase? I mean, just as she's going from not feeling as bad to starting to even feel better. Can you talk about that process? Because it works. If you give the body what it needs, it's going to respond. So can you talk about just the process of her, as she started to feel better, and her mood changes as she started to get better, and then the body responded to the treatment?
Well, after we had, I guess it was about 6 months into it, she was convinced that she was going to live. And yeah, from then on, her smile came back, her confidence came back. In fact, after about a year later, she was in the pulpit preaching for a while. So it did wonders for her confidence and for what she wanted in her healing process. It did all kind of stuff, and we had a good time with her speaking and telling people about how glad she was. It just changed her whole life, because that's what she wanted, you know. So
changed your life too.
Yeah, and I couldn't do anything else after that. So yeah, I'm still doing it. Yeah. So it was a life changing experience, once in a lifetime experience that changed us both and changed the whole family, really. Yeah.
Now I know as a result of that, you became the healer in the family immediately. You didn't, I mean, you had the credentials then, brother. I mean, it was you get sick, you know who to go see, right?
Yeah, I helped them all out. At some point, I've helped them all to do something that they were confronted with that turned out to work out for them. So, yes, I'm thankful that I was able to be used that way and that they, you know, could listen to me. So, yeah, it's been quite rewarding to do something like that for somebody.
You know, I just want to state, because there are a lot of people tuning in tonight, and a lot of people tuning in maybe with even expectations, and as they hear your testimony, it can give them hope and inspiration that, hey, they too can go all the way with this. They too can change their diet to a livid and have high expectations. But in life, there are no guarantees, because when it comes to your health, you know, a lot of people are tuning into this show because they got the word. You know, the word went out. You know that, hey, there's going to be this brother on. He cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. You know, whatever your condition is, call in, you know. But, again, it's a lifestyle change. Your mother was in a situation where her lifestyle had to change. There were certain things that caused the cancer in the first place that had to be eliminated. Her lifestyle had to change. And so because she was in such a vulnerable position, being that you know, she had cancer. Doctors had only given her 6 weeks to live. You were able to make the changes that she might not have made otherwise. You know what I mean? So when I'm sharing with people, when I tell them about you, I let them know, hey, this is a lifestyle change. This isn't, oh, you got diabetes, you take a pill and everything's going to be all right. Okay, it's them pills that complicate situations. Am I right?
That's correct. The pills, you rely on the pills instead of your faith, and that's why most of us die. Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody, my special guest today is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington. Tonight we're going to be talking about every shut eye ain't sleep. Okay,
yeah.
We've heard that term before, and normally when we hear that term, we take it from the standpoint of, well, when somebody thinks they got you and you know that they think they got you, then you got them, right? Okay, well,
yeah.
We're talking about it tonight from the standpoint of insomnia. There are a lot of people out here that are walking around and are just not getting a good night's sleep. Before we get into that, Brother Coy, could we talk about even just the importance of sleep? Because I think a lot of times people take that for granted. We don't even consider what, you know, people staying up late, getting 2 and 3 hours of sleep and, you know, not sleeping well. And, you know, we don't even consider that. Can you talk about the importance of sleep? How important is it and why?
Well, sleep is important in that it's your body. It gives your body a chance to rejuvenate and energize for the next day. And it's something that, you know, say normally sleep you get 7 to 9 hours a night, something like that. That's probably a good average figure across all age groups. And when you fail to get that amount of sleep, it affects your brain, it affects your ability to think, it affects your focus, it affects your health. So the idea is as often as you can, you want to, you know, get the correct amount of sleep. And even sometimes when you get the correct amount of sleep, you can sleep 8 hours and still wake up tired or whatever, or you can wake up not feeling like you have slept. Your body just is not resting. There's a lot of reasons for that. If you find yourself in that condition, chances are something else going on in your body. The physiological part of the body, the things that you do inside, could become some kind of disease that you're dealing with that you're not aware of. It can be the drugs you're taking or something that you're eating that your body can't digest. So it's a number of reasons how you can sleep and still not rest. So it's important to rest, because if you don't get the proper amount of rest, you're going to run into a disease state at some point that that's going to, you know, lead to some kind of catastrophic, I'd say, disease that you can't overcome. So first of all, you want to make sure you get the right amount of rest. You want to make sure that if you're not feeling rested when you wake up, that you find out why. It could be inflammation in the body going on, or onset diabetes, or you could have be taking drugs, or on legal or illegal drugs that can interfere with your body's ability to function properly or interfere with your sleep pattern. Or you can be just finding that it's your dietary concerns. It could be one thing that you're eating that could be you could be allergic to or not able to digest properly. So yes, it can be a number of reasons. And even though there is a set proper amount of sleep that you should get each day, even if you get it, getting that amount of sleep, you still may not be resting properly, and your body can still be not functioning well. The next day, you could feel tired. You could feel like you're not energized, and you may not know why. Or you may be taking sleeping pills, or you may be taking some kind of drug to help you sleep, and that can interfere with your sleep cycle. So it's a number of things that you need to look at if your sleep is not correct. But if you're not feeling well when you wake up, if you're not getting the being able to sleep throughout the night, your first objective is to find out what's going on with you. So if you don't see or know what it is, in other words, you're doing everything right and you still can't sleep, then you may need to maybe get some assistance to find out exactly what's going on with you, so you can begin to head it off before it get too far gone. So that's kind of an introductory.
Okay.
Just an introduction to your sleep and why you should sleep and why it's important to sleep. Hopefully that's a good overview of where we're going tonight. Yes.
Well, for everybody that's listening online, again, if you want to join in the conversation, all you have to do if you're listening on the phone is press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Now, if you're listening by phone and you have a question or a comment, even if it's not about the topic tonight, don't think that, oh, man, I wish they were talking about diabetes, or, shoot, I wish they were talking about arthritis. I had a question about that. No, if you have a question about that, all you have to do is press 1, and you can still ask your question, okay? We can just, you know, we can shift, we can flow, okay? So
yeah.
Don't worry about that. If you have a question about anything related to health, okay, while you've got Brother Coy on the line, don't be shy. Just press 1, and I'll bring you on, and you can ask your question or make your comment. So, oh, by the way, to the people that are listening by phone, please put the phone on speaker and listen that way. Please don't hold the phone to your head and listen that way, okay? There's what's called electromagnetic frequencies, and you don't want that going directly into your brain or through your skull. So definitely just put the phone on speaker and listen that way if you're listening by phone, okay? So, Brother Coy, insomnia, I guess that's a technical term for just not being able to sleep. So what is insomnia, just other than just not being able to sleep?
Well, that's just one type of a sleep disorder. It's primarily just an inability to sleep throughout the night, or you wake up and can't go back to sleep. Difficulty falling asleep. That's more in the insomnia class. You want to, for that, you want to figure out what's going on with that. Usually it's characterized by an inability to either fall asleep or to remain asleep during the course of the night. So that's more what sleep disorder, in terms of you're just not able to go to sleep. You may go to sleep and wake up. You may, if you can't go back to sleep, then you're in the insomnia kind of realm. And that probably is the causes are generally stress or some kind of illness or some kind of drugs you're taking that's interfering with your sleep pattern, your circadian rhythm. That's why there are certain hours you should sleep. You should sleep at night. That's why at night you have nighttime to sleep. And it may be that you're working at night and you can't sleep. And when you get to bed, you can't sleep because the sun is out, or you got noise or whatever. Daytime, you can't sleep. You can be drugs or food we talked about, or just a diet or caffeine. You could be a coffee drinker or Coke, drink a lot of Coke, or too much sugar. All of those things can bring on insomnia. So you want to, if you're having insomnia, you want to first come down off of those things, check your diet, check your food allergies, and check your drugs or alcohol use, both legal and illegal, and chances are you can begin to address some of the inability to sleep or wake up on time as an insomnia consideration. But there's also sleep apnea, which is another form of going to sleep and not being able to wake up, or breathing problems.
And not being able to wake up.
Yeah, you can, it's commonly, I guess, it would fall in the area of nightmares or something like that. Your nervous system just shuts down and you can't wake up, you can't move, and you feel like you're suffocating. That's a part of the sleep apnea and the insomnia. You can happen in any stage of your sleep, but it's mostly the sleep apnea is a nerve problem or just a lung or breathing problem. You're not breathing properly, or oftentimes it can be just your diet. You're just eating stuff that you can't digest, and it's trying to come back up when you sleep. So you can't sleep, or you get full of mucus, and you just stop breathing. It's more of a breathing problem than a sleep problem. Your central nervous system is not able to keep your body functions working while you sleep. And then you have another form of sleeplessness that's sometimes called restless leg syndrome. That's a sleep disorder. I didn't really know that's what it was, but that's what they say it is. It's a periodic leg movement syndrome, causes repeatedly leg movement during the onset of sleep or during sleep itself. So you find sometimes people, they can't sleep, or they wake up and the covers on the floor, or maybe even they're on the floor. So that's kind of a sleep disorder that some people may have. But insomnia is just one. It's basically the same thing, just called something differently. It's just a sleep disorder. Yeah.
Well, where would snoring fall into this? Would that be a part of this discussion? I mean, would that be considered a disorder of sleep, a sleeping disorder? And even if it doesn't fall into that category, since it just came into conversation, what about snoring? I mean, what actually causes that? Because you have people that even if they don't snore, they might not be able to get a good night's sleep because the person laying next to them is snoring. You know what I mean?
Well, oftentimes that's the case, and you really don't know who's snoring unless you're sitting there awake or watching who's sleeping and who's snoring. But usually snoring, again, is close to sleep apnea. You just don't stop breathing. I guess if nobody was there to wake you up and it's more of a air passage thing with the snoring. It could be classified as a sleep disorder, I guess, but usually it's more of a breathing problem. So you have to correct that. Again, pretty much it can be caused by the same things, the diet, the alcohol, the drugs, or just a lack of exercise. All of those things will play into your inability to sleep without snoring. Your air passages begin to close up, and your body trying to breathe, you create this noise that comes out, and we call it snoring, but that's more of a breathing problem, I would say, than a sleep disorder.
Well, what about food, Brother Coy? I mean, just even I know, maybe, I don't know if I would assume that diet plays a role. What you eat might have a effect on everything as it relates to body functions, but certainly the time that you eat. For example, if you go to bed at 9, but you just ate dinner at 8:30, you know, as the body's trying to digest the food, it seems like that might be a issue in prohibiting somebody from going to sleep. Would you agree?
Well, that is a big problem. But generally, it's if you would eat some fruit a half hour before you go to bed, it would be different than eating a full meal, meat and potatoes and all of that. But we find that most of those sleeping problems with usually comes from eating. It's maybe not everything that you're eating, but it's probably one thing that you're eating we find that can cause your sleep deprivation or your inability to sleep. If you have a problem with that, I would just it's been recommended, I'd say, that you just eat one food at a time. Cut everything out. Just start eating, say, potatoes every day. If you're okay with that, then you can, after a day or two, you can add something else. And you do that until that condition comes back. then you have identified what is causing your sleep deprivation, and then you can work around that. But it's still important not to go to bed with a full stomach or with a food that's it's going to take time to digest. In fact, it's not a good idea to eat anything that takes a lot of time to digest. Your food should go right through you, and your body should easily extract the minerals and the vitamins and all the things that you need from it, so that you don't put a strain on the body or interfere with your ability to sleep or anything else.
Speaking of foods that are hard to digest, now's a good time to slide this in there. You know, I'm a proponent of not eating meat. So for those who are listening, Brother Coy, you know, there are people out there that, you know, maybe those that not tuned into this show, I mean, somebody they know, have a difficult time even conceptualizing the thought of not eating meat. I mean, we grew up on it. I mean, from the time we were a kid and we saw them golden arches, you know, you got 2 years old, can't even talk, but they know them golden arches. They're trying to say McDonald's, you know, in the car as they're going by. I mean, we were raised on it. And a lot of people can't even fathom not eating it. But part of being able to not eat it and to let it go is to understand what it does to the body. So
right.
Could we, for a moment, just to talk about meat and the dangers of meat and why it's important and could even affect your sleeping pattern, because in addition to being hard to digest, there are other conditions that come along with eating meat as well. Could you talk about meat, Coy, and why it's important people understand that they're actually really taking their life in their own hands when they eat it?
Yeah, well, the number one reason you don't eat meat because you're not designed to eat it as a human. We're not carnivores. We're basically fruitarians or vegetarians or vegan. So the proof of that is if you a heavy meat eater, it may take the meat 3 or 4 days, or sometimes it may never come out of you. Because of your elimination. And if you're eating the meat, it's hard to eliminate it, period. Your colon is not designed to process or digest or move meat through. So it gets stuck on the wall, and that's where you get a lot of colon problems, a lot of, you would have a sleeping problem if your colon is not working properly. So you want to stay away from meats because your body just basically can't digest it, and it makes your body work overtime, and it leads to it accelerates the disease process into diabetes, into heart disease, into arthritis, all the things that we get because this meat putrefies or it rots in the gut, and you wind up becoming acidic inside because you're not eating enough green leafy vegetables to push stuff through or to enough fruit to help add enough water to the digestive system to move that meat out, and you wind up getting sick with kidney problems or diabetes. All the things that we get, it just comes from not being able to digest and eliminate what we eat. And if you can recognize that and make that one of the things you eliminate if you're having a sleeping problem, you may be able to identify or be convinced that meat is not a good thing for you because it takes too much energy for the body to process and digest and eliminate.
What about dairy, Brother Coy? Because you mentioned, for example, that snoring, for example, could be a breathing problem. Well, I know that it's been proven that the relations between dairy and breathing and healthy breathing has been proven that dairy has an adverse effect on, you know, our breathing. Could you talk about dairy and its role in the body and why people need to be aware of that as well? And just not, don't eat meat, but just, I mean, when we're talking about dairy, cheese, milk, you know, all of that, could you talk about dairy and its effect on the body?
Well, like you say, it's in our lifetime, I'll say, we have been forced to eat pasteurized milk. So the problem with the pasteurization is that it kills any life in the process. And so it, when you drink it or eat it, it's just like eating dead food. So it does the same thing in the body. It goes in, it clogs up your respiratory system, you can't breathe. It brings on asthma. A lot of the kids that we, children that young children particularly, a lot of them have asthma. I would say the first thing you want to do is to check the dairy. If you can, just stop it for a while. Use a, you know, you get a bean milk or almond milk or nut milk or something like that. You can make that yourself and have them drink that instead of dairy milk. And a lot of times you get the skin problems like eczema. All of that has been traced to dairy because you can't digest it, you can't eat it, it's pasteurized, it's got a lot of toxicity in it, it's acidic. So when you eat it, it has nowhere to go, your body can't process it, so it starts coming through the skin. Your skin is the largest eliminative organ, and what don't come to the, through the skin, it goes through the respiratory system, and you, it breaks down your ability to breathe properly and to get the right amount of oxygen that you need. So that's why we should stay away from the dairy products, particularly with our children. We should probably get them off of it if we can. If you don't know how, there's enough people out here now that can explain to you how to do that. And just begin to, you know, eliminate the milk as best you can, pasteurized or processed dairy products in any form, and even eggs, because eggs are high in cholesterol and fat, and that we know that that is the number one lead of heart disease. So all of these things lead us into the diseases that are preventable, and that's why we say they are preventable, because we don't have to eat that stuff, and we don't have to put it in us and put our body through that, and you'll find that you will have a lot more energy and you can do a lot more in with your time if you learn how to eat to live.
What about those who say, you know, certain things run in their family? You know, certain things are genetic. Like, for example, you mentioned, I think it was eggs is the number one, dairy being a number one contributor to heart problems. But somebody might say, well, you know, heart disease runs in my family, man. My grandmother had it. My grandfather had it. My aunts and uncles have it. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, hey, it runs in the family. What do you say to that?
Well, that's why they're eating the wrong things. If they would stop the dairy or stop the meat, cut back on it or eliminate it even, it would be better. You would find that those things would go away. I always say anything that's preventable, and heart disease is preventable, diabetes is preventable, arthritis is preventable, all those things are preventable, and we address them that way and stop causing our body to produce all this uric acid and all the things that, what do we call it, the inflammation they create when you eat them and you don't eliminate them. You'll find that these things are not hereditary. They are brought on by maybe generations of eating a certain way, and chances are you're eating something that your body is allergic to, and the only way your body can tell you is that it gives you the diabetes or the kidney problems or the cancers and all the other things that we get that is unnecessary. So, yeah, I would not say because my mother did it that I have to do it too. I should know now that these things you don't have to do. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to give your body this disease if you just stop eating the things you know you're allergic to. And that's most of the food that we eat. We just have to find a different way or another way to eat so that we don't generate all this stuff in our body that causes us to get sick in the first place. That's why we deal with prevention. Prevention is the way to go. And if you start eliminating some of these things we know that you shouldn't eat, you'll find that your family would probably be better off in another decade or so. You'll find that few and fewer would be coming down with these conditions, and eventually they would go away because you're not doing anything to create these conditions in the body to cause it in the first place. So that's what we mean by preventable diseases. The diseases that we suffer with and die with, they are preventable. And if we do the right thing, or if we learn how how to do the right thing and change the way we live and eat, we can eliminate most of the diseases that we die from today.
What about the medications, Brother Coy, for somebody who might be dealing with sleep apnea or insomnia? It, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine somebody going to the doctor and then being prescribed just various different types of allopathic prescriptions. They're taking, you know, so many different pills, right? You know, you have people taking 10, 12 pills a day, different pills, you know. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine a person actually being able to get a good night's sleep if they're on so many different medications. I mean, because with all these different drugs running through your veins, it seems like it would truly be impossible to get a good night's sleep. But let's say you take somebody who is on different medications and, you know, they haven't made the transition yet and they're dealing with these sleep conditions, but they can't stop taking their medicine, you know, or at least they feel they can't stop taking their medicine or they're afraid to stop taking their medicine. What about somebody, what would you say to somebody in that condition, Brother Coy?
Well, they would probably want to find a place that they can go or someone they can talk to or call someone that know more about the how to prevent disease and explain to them what's going on with them so they can assist them in maybe not just stopping the medication but how to come off of those medications by supplementing your food choices, the things that you eat, and by maybe even adding some drugs and I mean the herbs from the ground that we that contains so much nutrition for the body that we sometimes forget why we need the herbs. But the herbs, if you can just begin to integrate integrate the herbs into your diet, you will find that your need for the medication should reduce, and that should give you the encouragement to continue doing what's necessary to eliminate or to get rid of those drugs out of the system, because chances are those drugs that the doctor's giving you, eventually they're going to cause the same problem that you're trying to correct. So over time, if you're taking a kidney medication, if you take it long enough, you'll wind up on dialysis anyway. So you have to realize that and begin to do whatever you can to regenerate that kidney and to make it do and work the way it should by getting rid of primarily animal products, because it creates a lot of uric acid and your kidney just can't digest or process that uric acid. So it settles in other parts of the body and it creates all this pain and inflammation in the body that we can prevent. It's preventable.
You know, you gave the example of dialysis. Just for somebody that's listening that might be on dialysis, is that something that can be, that somebody can come off of? If you take somebody that's on, their diabetes has gotten to the point where now where they are on dialysis, they have to go, you know, I don't know how many ever times a week they have to go, but
yeah.
Can they come off of that? Can they look forward to that if they do the right thing, and the right thing being changing their lifestyle?
I have been able to work with people, and they can come off of the dialysis. If you have any kind of function, if you can pee at all, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are you have a good chance of coming. You can come off the dialysis if you want. But now what they're doing, they're making you take it every 2 or 3 days. Or our kidney function is so weak now, they make you take it every 2 or 3 days. And it takes the herbs longer, you know, when you take the dialysis, it flushes everything out and you got to put it all back. So you don't give it, you're not giving your body enough time to let something else come in and do what it's supposed to do to get you off the dialysis. They kind of stick you on it. And what happens is over time, your bodily functions become weaker and weaker and weaker until you're on dialysis for the rest of your life. But the problem with people, when they find that they can take the herbs and their body function return, the problem with most of them, they'll revert back into the same thing that got them in the got them in that in the first place. Go back to drinking sodas, go back to eating meat, go back to doing all the things that create that uric acid in the system, and it brings that kidney back down, and it's more difficult to bring it back after you have come off and you know that it works. You fall back into it. It's more difficult to kind of address because we are creatures of habit, and it's just hard to stop. That's why we should plan to fast at least two or three times a year so you can get that strength, the body control, and the power that you need to stay strong and do the right thing so you don't fall back into it. But that's with anything. If you, quit smoking and then go back to smoking, it's more difficult the second time to stop, and chances are you won't. So you have to really be convinced that you're not going to do this, and this is why I'm not going to do it, and you have to stand on that and stay strong in that, and that's why you need to fast to keep your spirit strong, keep your body strong, keep your will strong.
You know, Brother Coy, and again, I want to invite everybody to, if you have a question, all you have to do is just press 1. We got 15 minutes left in the show. Please don't wait till the last 2 minutes to ask your question. Give them a chance to, be able to give it the give the answer, the attention that it needs. You might take somebody that's listening to this show, and they're saying, I hear the brother. I know what he's saying is true, and I don't dispute anything that the brother's saying, but I just don't know how to make the transition. All I got in my, I just got meat in my refrigerator. I just went shopping. You know what I mean? I just filled my meat. How do I get off this? I got this condition. Are you telling me that if I make the necessary changes, you're telling me that if I stop eating dairy, meat, let go of the sugar, go of the table salt and all of those things, that I can get off this dialysis, or I can reverse this diabetes, or I can start sleeping right again, or I can get up out this bed, this walker, and I can do these things? Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you. And if you know how to use the herbs are an excellent way to assist the body in that. But the problem is the herbs, like I say, the herbs work so well that people get feeling like they're okay and they'll go back into what got them into that situation in the first place. And that's the problem that we confront. So it's really, as an individual thing, I think it's we just need to talk more about it. We need to understand how the body works more. We need to be more educated in terms of what to take and what the body needs and that kind of stuff. Because the only thing we have available to us is what's made available on TV when we go to this corner store, and we don't have a lot of health food stores. We don't have a lot of places to get good food to eat that your body really, that will really heal or help the body heal. So you almost have to go and find out on your own these things and bring them into your house and use them as part of your diet or live it so that you can not have to depend on the medication from the doctor. But once you get on the medication, it's difficult to get off. So you want to, as soon as you know that you're going to have to take medication, you want to do whatever you can not to take it the rest of your life. You want to make the changes necessary and begin to develop a program, a lifestyle that will support you in staying healthy.
You know, everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon, changed his whole life. Brother, this got to have been, having the track record that you have and been doing it for almost 40 years, to have seen people come to you in various stages of disease. I mean, some people come to you with days to live. Some people come to you, that you're able to catch them in time to help them to make the changes that they are, bound to make if they want to get healthy. To have been in your position and to see the changes and to see folks come to you in one condition and then 6 months later come back and they just cancer-free or diabetes-free or arthritis-free, that's got to be rewarding for you.
That's what life is all about. If I can do that with one person, I'm grateful. But, yeah, this is happening more often. People are more concerned about what they eat, and they are more concerned about how they live. And particularly the millennials, they are probably going to be the ones that make all of this happen in a way that it should happen so that people know and understand how to take care of the body in a way that they don't have to be sick. Yeah, I see it coming. It's coming.
You know, let's talk about the doctors for a moment. You know, not I don't have anything against doctors personally, because, you know, there might be some people out there that, you know, have family members that are doctors, you know what I mean? You don't necessarily hate them because of their profession. But let's talk about doctors just from the standpoint of, if somebody's listening to this show and they go and tell their doctor, you know, hey, you know, I heard this show, a lot of great information. You know, I think I'm going to change my diet to a livet, and I'm going to let go of this dairy and, you know, get off this meat, and, you know, because I don't want to take this high blood pressure medication for the rest of my life, and I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to be on dialysis for the rest of my life. What can they expect from the doctor? Because we know that the doctors aren't going to say, yeah, you know what, that's a great idea. I think you should become vegan. Why don't you? Why don't you change your diet to a livet and see how that works for you? They might get just the opposite, you know, because they got skin in the game. I mean, if you come to them and they write you a prescription, they get paid. Can you talk about it, Brother Corey?
Well, they are stuck in their system, and it's they've been hijacked. In fact, it's almost illegal for them to do anything that really makes the body better. They got this protocol that they go through. They give you all these tests, and then they go through the book and find out for this, what I found, that you should take this drug. They don't consider anything else. They don't tell you that you can change your diet or you should change your diet. Even though it's changing, it's not there yet. Their protocol is to diagnose and give you a drug. If it's anything other than that, they're going to say it ain't going to work, because that's what they know. So you have to go. You can't just depend on what the doctor say, because they have a one-track approach to your life, your body. And oftentimes it entails drugs or surgery or chemicals or something, which they all cause inflammation in the body or creates more of a problem than they solve. So you just kind of have to expect that from your doctor. But don't let that be the only thing that you believe. It's what you believe. If you believe what the doctor say and you do what the doctor say, chances are you will be on a drug or some kind of medication the rest of your life. Now, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you want to maybe sit down with your doctor, explain to them, this is what I want to do and this is why I'm doing it, maybe you can bring them along, or they may recommend some other things that you can do, but you're going to have to pull it out of them. And you're going to, it would be nice to get your doctor on board with your change so he can monitor and see what's happening. But most of them, it's against the law for them to recommend anything other than a drug. So why would you go to someone and you know that's all they got to give you? So you're going to have to be able to step outside of that and be able to find a support group or someone that can assist you in the process of trying to live a drug-free life or whatever that you want to call it, and someone with the information that you can understand and trust and try and see that it works and bring it into your home and share it with the family, so that before you even think about going to the doctor, you can say, well, I know we should do this, so let's do this. I know we should do that, let's do that. And when everything else fails, then maybe you may consider going to a hospital or a doctor. But if you really want to stay sick, go to a hospital or a doctor.
You say if you really want to stay sick, go to a hospital or a doctor.
That's correct.
You know, it's so interesting, brother, because I think a lot of times people, when it comes to the doctors, they're intimidated by the doctors. You know, the doctors are the ones that have been to college. The doctors have done residency. The doctors may have been studying whatever they've been studying for God knows how many years before they graduated. The doctors got the plaque on the wall. You know, the doctors making the big money. You know, and I think people are intimidated when they go to sit and talk to a doctor. The doctor got the big words, you know, and it's like, okay, well, I'm trying to repeat what I heard Brother Coy say, you know, on the radio show. Brother's trying to say, well, let me remember what the brother said, you know, and they might not come back to them. And so when they end up talking to the doctor shoots down what they're saying in one or two sentences, and because the poor brother or sister ain't got a comeback, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, well, I guess the doctor's, I guess he's right, but or she's right. But could you talk about the importance of the listeners knowing that when you walk into a doctor's office, you are in charge, okay? That's your body, okay? Yeah. That's your body. So when you go in there and the doctor says, hey, I prescribe such and such and such and such, I'm going to put you on this, they talk like you don't have a choice. Look, this is what the doctor's in there talking about. Look, this is what we're going to do. You know, I'm going to put you on this. I'm going to give you that, you know.
Yeah.
And you have a choice in that. You can say no, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't feel comfortable with that. Could you talk about that, Brother Coy, just the importance of when people go into the doctor's room, office, knowing that they, the patient, is the person in charge?
Well, I think the first thing you want to do is when you go to the doctor, they're going to do a test and run the test and do a diagnosis and come up with some conclusion. So the first thing you want to do is question that conclusion. If they can't give you an answer that's satisfactory to you, then you probably need to go next door to another doctor or do something different. Because if they can't explain why they're giving you this and what it's supposed to do and what you can expect, then the chances are they're just practicing. They're not trying to do anything to make you better. So when you go to the doctor, you first want to make them explain what they're giving you, why they're giving it to you, and what you can expect from it. If they can't give you that, then you're on your own. You're just a guinea pig. So once they give you that, if you are lucky enough to get it, then you can say, well, let me go home and we'll sit down and think about it, and I can see what you're talking about, and maybe, okay, we can talk later. So you take that information or your test result, you take them home, you find someone that can understand them and explain to you what's really going on with you, and maybe someone that can give you some information about what else you can do in terms of addressing the condition the doctor has said you have, because now you know what you're dealing with, and you can begin to come up with alternative programs to address that problem. So it's a problem. It's just a being proactive in terms of your own health, in terms of your own life. You got to question something. If you come to me, I would expect you to question me about whatever I tell you. And if you felt like you need to go and study or look it up or ask somebody else, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Just to go to a doctor and get no feedback in terms of why you're taking the medication or what the medication is, number one, and why you are taking it, number two, is just being a guinea pig. And then and whatever happens to you, you really bought it on yourself, and that's why it's so hard to sue a doctor for what they do, because you really did it yourself, and you really can't prove that any other thing would have made a difference. So you got to up front find a doctor, number one, that's honest with you, that you can talk to, that don't mind you being able to research or question what they say. And if they can't explain to you why you're doing it, then you maybe need to move on to another office and see if you can find someone that's more, you know, patient-friendly that can work with you till you understand why you're doing what you're doing. If you can't do that, I would come out and go to a preventive health person that understands enough about what your body needs, and maybe they can help you make a decision about what's best for you. Not that you should never do what the doctors say, but you should know why you're doing what the doctors say, and you should know what your results should be. You just shouldn't be just taking whatever they give you. Don't even look and see what it is. Don't even question, why are you giving me mercury or why are you giving me a toxic drug that's going to create some other problem in my body? If he can't explain that to you, then you tell him he can take the drugs himself. You don't need to take it.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
I know that's right, Brother Corey. Whether he got the condition or not.
That's what he's doing to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing to you. That's all. Yeah. So, yeah, you got to be proactive. You got to speak up. You got to stand up. And you got to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so interesting, too, Brother Corey, is how people go to the doctor and, you know, when they go to the doctor and the doctor comes out and talks to them, you know, the doctor seems very, the doctor might seem like a nice fellow, you know, or a very personable lady, you know, just very nice and cordial and might even seem compassionate. You know, they might seem compassionate and caring and, you know, all of that during a time when the family needs caring and compassion and all of that. Like mama's sick or daddy's sick or, you know, man's wife might be in the hospital or her husband might be dying or something. And the doctor's saying, you know, he's coming out, he's got his white coat on, very somber face, you know, and he's talking with his soft voice and very compassionate and, you know, tender at a time when, you know, you're grieving and you're going through, you know. And you just assume that because this person is expressing these emotions that you need at this time. You need some hope. You need somebody to tell you that, you know, mama's going to live or daddy's going to live or your husband or whatever is going to live. And when you hear the soft tones of their voice, you know, and they're talking soft to you or whatever, you think they care.
Yeah.
And you think that the person is a nice person. And they may be a nice person, but you could be a nice person and still be wrong. You know, you could be a nice person and still give somebody a drug that's going to kill them, you know. And even if it's not on purpose, even if you think that the drug or the prescription that you're giving the person is going to get them better, even if you think it is, but it doesn't, you were still wrong and the person could still die even though you had good intentions, you know, even though your intentions were good. If the person, you know, takes an allopathic medicine that's going to cause another thing, that's going to cause another thing, that's going to cause another thing, even though you thought when you prescribed it to them that that was the thing to do, if you were wrong, you were wrong. The result is still the same. The result is still the same as if you gave it to them knowing it was going to kill them. If you gave it to them and you didn't know it was going to kill them, but you gave it to them and it killed them, it's the same result as if you did it on purpose. So, you know, for the people who go into the doctors, ask questions. Ask questions. Like Brother Coy say, like you say, Brother Coy, they're gonna question you if they come to you, right?
That's correct. They're gonna ask anything that I ain't never thought of. but they won't ask the doctor nothing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They asking you everything. How you know, huh? How long you been doing this? How many people you done healed? You know? But see, when it comes to doctors, the doctors, if you, and I've tried this. I remember, Brother Quay, when I got hit by the car, I went to the doctor, did exactly what you said. You said, okay, you need to get some references of people who have, you know, the doctor's given this to, operated on, whatever. When the doctor wanted to operate on me, I said, okay, well, let me see if I can get some references. Well, he cited, his assistant cited, I guess, doctor-patient privilege. You know, they couldn't give me the names and numbers of other people that had the same procedure, which I understood that, you know. But he said, well, what I can do, he says, I can't give you the names and the numbers of the people who've had the procedure, but I can tell you approximately what percentage of the people that came in here that needed the surgery actually had the surgery. I'm like, that don't do me no good because they could have had the surgery and regretted having the surgery. You know what I'm saying?
I am totally checking that. I hear you.
You got people walking around here wishing they didn't have surgery, you know, so I can't go by that, you know. But for the listeners, I listened to Brother Coy. I got hit by a car. Doctor told me that I had jacked up my knee in three places, had a torn meniscus, torn ACL, and a torn MCL, and he wanted to do surgery, you know, said I would never walk right again. If I didn't have the surgery, I just would never walk right again. And I'm like, he said, but I need to let you know I'm leaving the practice in 3 weeks, so you need to go ahead and schedule with my secretary so that you can get in, because in 3 weeks, you know, I won't be here anymore. And I wished him well, you know. I was like, well, you know, because I had already spoken to Coy, so I'm like, you know, it's like, who do you trust, right? I know Coy. I didn't know him, so I'm like, well, yeah, doctor, you know, I wish you the best, and, you know, good luck, you know. So never went back, you know. So I'm just thankful that I listened, you know, and this information could be the answer to a prayer. So before we go, Brother Coy, somebody wants to talk to you. Can I bring him on before we go?
All right.
4356, you're on the air with King Coy Dustin. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, and sorry for the late question. Just got to where I could talk, if it's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you. Very quickly, how can you address lifestyle issues that are keeping you from sleeping? I worked the early morning shift for 20 years. So I awakened every morning around 3:30, and I'm still doing that after being retired for almost 12 years now. I'm still doing that, and I don't care what time I go to sleep, I'm still going to wake up around 3:30.
Yeah, yeah. Your circadian rhythm has been changed, so you are not. Your sleep cycle is off. What you're going to have to do probably is go to a vacation spot or something, and just let your body come down. Or maybe just, if you can't do that, just go out and sit in the sun for maybe an hour or two a day. Really, we should be getting about 8 hours of sun a day. If you can do that, that would help. But the sun will help bring your rhythm back. That would be the best thing, probably. Vitamin D you could take, that would help. And exercising, all of those things would probably be the best way to address the years of abuse you've done to your body. And then you can begin to, you know, get on a good diet or live it, like get rid of the dirty sugar and the meat. Maybe learn to fast, and you'll find your body will come back to a place where you can function normally. So that would be my recommendation. Sunlight would probably be the best therapy for that, because sun is what we all operate off the sun. And if you want to straighten up your sleep cycle, get back into the sun, maybe take a long vacation in a place where there's a lot of sun, and you'll find that you'll get your vitamin D, so you don't have to worry about taking anything, and your body will be able to absorb the sun in a way that it will correct any imbalances that you might be having.
Okay. It always seems a little strange because I've never had an alarm clock, and whenever I need to wake up, I tell myself that's what time I need to wake up. So I keep trying to tell myself, don't wake up until 8 o'clock. But it's not working.
Well, I would say if you can get more sun in your life, I think that would be the best way to regulate your sleeping pattern.
Okay.
The sun is the best way. We are not getting enough sun. We are beginning to realize that. We don't get enough sun. We are lucky to get 8 minutes a day. We should be getting 8 hours of sun a day.
Wow.
And so that process alone would do a lot to correct that sleep cycle that you're dealing with.
Okay.
And let me ask you this, Queen Renee. I know you mentioned that you normally regularly get up around 3. Do you normally go to bed late, or do you normally go to bed, you know, how many hours, I guess, would you get? I mean, because there are people who get up early but go to bed late. Are you up late, or do you?
It doesn't matter what time I go to sleep. I'm still going to wake up at the same time. But typically, I don't go to sleep.
Oh, really? Okay. So if you went to sleep earlier.
not going to matter.
But if you went to sleep, let's say you went to sleep earlier and you got up around the same time, if you got up around 3, can you time it? Like, okay, if I know I'm going to get up around 3, I'll go to bed 8 hours earlier.
I know, but it doesn't work. It just seems like it doesn't work because I can't go to bed that early for some reason.
Okay.
And I've done everything.
I understand. Yeah, you would have to go to bed
down.
Pretty early.
I've done everything to shut down. Like when I wake up, I used to just pick up something and read or listen to a lecture or something and hope I would fall back asleep. But the more I'm up and active, the more alert I am, you know. And then come 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting tired. And the good thing about it is I don't have to work, so I don't have, you know, any obligations to go out. But it makes your day so messed up because it's that disconnected sleep, you know, that is not, you know, you can get 4 hours, but it's not doing the right thing because it's just like broken rest. And it's like not having any rest at all, so. And people say use a sleepy time tea and stuff like that. I found that hasn't worked for me.
Well, nothing is going to work until you get the right amount of sun in your life. You got to get the sun back in your life. That's what really regulate your whole body is the sun. And we are not getting enough, and that's probably a big reason why we're going crazy and doing crazy things these days.
Okay.
If we can get back into the sun, if you can do it for a week or a couple of weeks and see the difference. And let me know how you do. Yeah.
I will.
Maybe in the morning when the sun first come up, get out in it. If you can, in the middle of the day, get it. When it's high in the sky, get in it. Before you, in the evening, get some more sun. At least try to get 4 to 5 hours a day and see if it makes a difference for you. But that the sun is what gets your cycle, your sleep cycle regulated.
Okay. All right, that's good information. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your call. Quite before we go, lastly, and then I want to tell people how they can get in contact with you because I know that people are going to want to call you after this show. You mentioned fasting as well. What about people that are on medication? Is fasting a consideration for them, or should they tweak the fast because, again, you have some things that, let's say they have medications that they're being told by the doctors, the prescription reads, take this with food, you know. So they might not want to, let's say, I don't know what the deal is with the high blood pressure medication. I don't know if that needs to be taken with food, but let's say it is a medication that needs to be taken with food, and they also don't want to stop taking the medication cold turkey. How can they tweak their fast to still be able to fast, or can they?
Well, the fasting, remember now, fasting is primarily a preventive, but it is also very healing. And if you are already on a lot of medication, already taking a certain medication, and you want to fast, you can do that, but you should probably do it under some kind of supervision. But if you take the time to give your body time to rest, I mean, like, you couldn't do this and go to work every day if you're on a lot of medication. You're going to have to stay in a place where you can give your body the herbs or the food or the vitamins or minerals that it needs so that you can replace that medication or give your body enough of that, whatever you're getting from the medication, to make everything function properly. So you want to, if you're going to do a fast and on medication, you're going to have to give your body a chance to rest. You won't be able to do a lot of other stuff if you're on a lot of medication and you're fasting. But if you get on a fast and you begin to take the vitamins and minerals, the vitamin C and all the supplements that you need, chances are your body will respond while you're fasting because it's doing nothing else but giving that organ a chance to rest or recuperate, and you'll find that after a day or two, the medication won't matter anyway. But you probably should, do that under some kind of supervision and understand what you need to take to replace that medication and how to eat to reduce your need on that medication, yes.
Brother Coy, this has been a fabulous, fabulous show, and I see somebody up there, and I just want to ask this question for that person that I know is up there listening. Diabetes. That's one of the easiest conditions to cure. Is that correct?
That is correct, and fasting is a good way to do that. The idea with diabetes, this is general, but diabetes comes from eating foods that you're allergic to or your body cannot digest. So if you just eliminate anything that's hard to digest or that causes your pancreas to overwork, and that's usually dairy, sugar, meat, that kind of stuff that we talk about that you should not eat. It usually leads to diabetes, and that's your first warning of a heart attack. When you find that blood sugar going out of balance, your heart is under attack. So that's when you want to address it before you have to go get a heart pacemaker, a heart transplant. But on that diabetic fast, you want to go to a raw green leafy vegetables as much as you can, green leafy vegetables. Some fruit you can do, maybe the green apple, and you want to do that for 3 or 4 days. If you can do it for a week, your diabetes should be gone. You should not have diabetes anymore. The only reason you get it back is because you stopped doing what got you off of it in the first place. And once you find that you can't control yourself to a place, and that's why I say fasting. It helps. It gives you that confidence, and it controls the control you need for your body to rest. Your pancreas just need to rest and not process food all day, and particularly food that's not good for you. But raw food, if you eat raw food, your pancreas doesn't have to do anything because that is the way it's designed to work. Your pancreas tells your body where the food should go and what should happen to it. So if you take that away from the pancreas, you don't have a problem with diabetes. So you want to go raw as much as you can, and fast long enough for your body to rejuvenate, and don't go back to eating the things that we know get you into trouble with diabetes.
Hmm. 1 week, Brother Coy. 1 week, gone.
1 week, yes, okay.
Wow.
That's it.
You have people that have been taking diabetic medication for years, and if
they
only knew, it's like, who knew, right?
Well, we haven't really taken the time to understand what's going on. We believe the doctor. The doctor is God. We trust in the doctor. We don't take time to understand the body and understand what it needs to function properly. If we could get that in our heads and live that way, we could eliminate at least 99% of the diseases that we have.
Wow. Everybody, I told you, when you tuned in, this was going to be a powerful show. This is a powerful brother right here. And if you've never been by his establishment in Washington, D.C., you got to get by there. Brother Coy, let the people know, if you would, where you are, how they can get in contact with you. People, if you got questions, you might not want to ask them on the air. You know, you can always give Brother Coy a call. You can set up a phone consultation. You can drop by his establishment. Brother Coy, how can they reach you, and can you give your address and hours of operation?
Well, my phone is probably the quickest way, if you're in a hurry, is 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C. That's 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C., 20032. I'm usually open from 8 to 5, Monday through Saturday, if you want to, 8 to 6, I should say. If you want to call and at a different time, you can still call, leave a message, and I can call you back as soon as I get your message. Or you can stop by when during those hours my open hours, and I can sit and talk with you, or whatever works for you. I'm flexible. I can work with you and spend as much time as I can trying to explain to you what I understand about your problem, and we can go from there. So 202-562-0041. If you don't get an answer, leave a message, and we'll be back to you at least within the next day or 24 hours.
And if you happen to need some products or whatever, he has an awesome establishment there. If you need loose herbs, he sells loose herbs. If you need vitamin supplements, I mean, he's got minerals. I mean, you name it. Brother Corey's got it. Also, he's got an awesome, awesome menu. Okay, so you definitely want to take advantage of that. If you've never tried vegetarian food, or even if you have, then you definitely will appreciate the cuisine at Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I encourage you to get by there, especially if you haven't tried it, vegetarian food. You definitely want to try it, because one of the things for a lot of people is, well, if I stop eating meat, dairy, and sugar, you know, what am I going to eat? A lot of times people think that vegetarian food is just carrots and celery, you know. It's that too, but it's so much more than that. Corey can whip you up a dish. If you would think you were eating a hamburger, okay, and once you find out that it's not meat, you'll be like, your mind will be blown. So if you haven't gotten there, make it a point to get by there again. Brother Corey, any parting words for our listeners? Again, you know, every shut eye ain't sleep, you know.
Every shut eye ain't sleep. And every single
not at all.
But we want to
say what?
We want to monitor our sleep in a way that we can pick up on what's going on in our body, so that we can begin to find out what's going on. Why when I wake up I don't feel rested? Why am I waking up in the middle of the night two or three times? And all of those, anything that's not normal in the body with your sleep pattern, you want to find out why, because that again can make a difference in terms of how soon you can get started with reversing whatever's going on. And the more you know about your sleep pattern and what to do about it, the better off you'll be in terms of not only preventing disease, but not getting sick, period.
Everybody, write this number down, put it on your refrigerator so that every time you go to get something to eat, you will see this name, Coy Dunstan. I call him King Coy Dunstan. That's 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. He's a regular on the show. He comes on once a month. Brother Coy, your shows are so good, man. I'm going to see if I can get you on more than once a month, man, because, you know, this is... food.
I feel you. Maybe I can just do this for a change. Yeah, I can get some rest. I just sit up and talk on the phone all day, right? We could do that too.
Right, you know, feed us, brother. You feeding us now, you know. You know, and let me tell you, speaking of feeding us in Coy's menu, we got a menu on Juwanza for Life, man. You got to go. If you've never scrolled down the archives and seen the food we got to offer, please do. We've got, again, Brother Coy is a regular on the show. He comes on once a month. We talk about a different aspect of holistic health. Also, we've got Dr. Ted Watkins, who's a regular on the show. Very, very powerful brother who was a surgeon. He had graduated from Howard University School of Medicine in 1977, went on to become a successful surgeon, but God called him out of that, said, you really want to heal people? You really want to help people get better? I'll help you. I will teach you how to help them not to even get sick. Okay,
there
so he changed over, and now he's on the holistic side. Also got Dr. Ruby Lathan. That's a sister, powerful, powerful, powerful sister, who actually cured herself of thyroid cancer after she had been diagnosed. The doctors told her that what she had, and she said she was going to go vegan, and they kind of laughed at her, but she got the last laugh, and when after a year, the cancer was gone, okay? So, I mean, we've got spiritual shows. We've got shows on spirituality with Dr. Raul Nefamin, Orwahehi Maduran Comet, I mean, Hexim Suheru, Chekameh Abnatar. I mean, we've got shows with, I mean, just all kinds of Queen of Fua. I mean, just all kinds of spiritual people who are bringing information that if you really want to grow spiritually, if you want to grow, we've got entrepreneur shows. I mean, with Professor Joseph Geiger, you're an entrepreneur? You need to tune into his shows. I mean, because he's written an awesome book called Entrepreneurial Success, The Road to the Top. And you got to hear his shows, too, on entrepreneurship. If you want to do it yourself, then make sure that you do it right, okay? So, everybody, again, I just want to thank you so much for your time. Don't forget, you got to call Brother Coy Dunstan. Call him in the morning, 202 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Brother Quay, thank you again, my friend. Always a pleasure talking to you, my brother. Great, great information, man. I'm very serious. I'm going to have to see, can I get you on more than once a month, brother, because this information is so powerful, and we need it, and we need you. Thank you so much for being my guest again today.
Well, I appreciate you and what you do, and anytime I can be of assistance, just let me know. Good night to you and your audience, and I wish you all good health.
Thank you so much, my brother. I shall be in touch. Everybody, I'm going to play this song for you. It's called I'm Going All the Way. If you're ready to go all the way, okay, listen to this song. It's very inspirational. People have told me that it really helped them when they were going through something in their life. You know, sometimes even the things that we hear that we allow into our brain through our eyes, through our ears, can really serve to inspire us. So check out the words to this song, okay? You might be down sometimes, but you won't be down always, okay? You're going all the way. I'm ready to go. Let's go. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?